The loss of a family member to war leaves a void that can never be filled, and the pain is magnified if the loved one is missing in action or recorded as a prisoner of war. The responsibility for providing information and offering closure to thousands of bereaved families falls to the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency and to its new director, retired Air Force Major General and 1977 Damien High School graduate, Kelly McKeag. We spoke earlier this morning about his mission and the surprising number of Second World War personnel still accounted for.
It's an anomaly to us as well. World War II was actually added to DPA's mission set back in 2009, mm-hmm. along with Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, to this day, there are sites, crash sites being found all over Europe, throughout the Oceania, Pacific region. It really is amazing. And if you see the numbers over history, obviously a majority of the ones that are missing are from World War II, but it appreciably drops to Korea. It drops even further with Vietnam, to the order of about 1,700 still missing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the 16 years of war in Afghanistan, there's not a single MIA from that conflict.
Because of what?
Because of personnel recovery. And the fact that the department as a whole pays more attention to it, has better resources in which to respond to it. And again, you used the term, I think, aptly, which is that fog of war.
You have so many people's hopes riding on you, don't you?
Yes, sir. And even second and third generation family members from World War II who are as much... That void is as much in their hearts as it was for their grandmother, great-grandmother, or what have you.
Yeah. It's a void that is never filled until you can get some kind of resolution. And what kind of tools do you have to provide resolution, especially with something as far gone as the Second World War?
So a lot of this is, it starts with research and our analysts and historians being able to cull through archives, being able to call through interviews, being able to piece together a picture that at least provides some fidelity as to where a loss might have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that fidelity is there, then we will send recovery teams out, often led by an anthropologist or archaeologist, to look for those remains. And then those remains, if found, come back to the largest forensic skeletal lab in the world, at which point working together with the Armed Forces DNA Laboratory, we'll use various techniques, tools, and technology to make that identification. And at that point, the Service Casualty Office will then have an encounter with the family from which they'll be able to then receive that closure.
So you have all the contact information you need on the family end, and you have pretty good record of who is unaccounted for.
Yes and no. So our numbers that are unaccounted for today are on the order of 83,000. However, of that,
wow,
if you take off the deep water at sea losses that we'll never be able to find with the technology we have today, the number gets down to about 34,000. Now, of that, because, again, as I mentioned, World War II and Korea are fairly new to Department of Defense's mission,
mm-hmm.
what happens is we're in the process of assembling family reference samples, DNA. You'll find that we have a pretty good record of DNA samples from family members from the Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
a higher number for Korea. We're still working on World War II, so part of it is an education process. Part of it is our services contacting families based upon genealogy,
mm-hmm.
and being able to secure those DNA reference samples.
And yet, it's a terribly important mission, and I know that you have contact with these families, and you get an idea of what it is for a family to have a missing member, don't you?
Absolutely. All it takes is to meet one, and you understand very early and very aptly how much of a void is in their life and how much it means to them that, A, the Department of Defense, the United States in general, commits the resources, time, and energy toward this. Because, it, again, sends a signal not only to the family members that their loved ones are not forgotten, but more importantly, and just as importantly, it also sends a message to those currently in uniform that the United States will not leave a fallen member behind and will do everything in our power to ensure that doesn't happen. But having said that, from the standpoint of what we are able to bring, those answers, that closure, I always tell people this is a humanitarian mission that defines us as Americans, that the United States is still doing this to this day, 70 years after World War II.
I'm looking at a map on your website that really is a, I think, would be a shocker for a great many people, the sheer numbers. And this has a little icon over Europe saying 20,947 missing World War II, another icon over North America, World War II, 1168, but different regions of the world listing the missing from conflicts in those regions. It's a powerful image, isn't it?
It is. It very much is. And you see the scope, the magnitude of how things were back then. And this is not to be pejorative against our predecessors, but, you know, there were millions of people in the war in both theaters, Pacific and Europe, and the losses are just staggering as to the carnage that occurred. And even for Korea, you can see the losses on that map across the Korean Peninsula.
And that's a war that is, for some reason, not fully understood, not much discussed these days.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. And well, as you well know, you know, it's still in an armistice status, as opposed to, there has been no cessation of animosity and conflict between the both Koreas.
So that war technically has not been concluded?
That's correct.
Have all the families that need to find out about a missing family member, has everyone gotten in touch with you? Are there families that don't know about the resource that need to be getting in touch with you?
That's correct. There are a number of families, particularly World War II families, that are not even aware that the United States might be looking for their loved one. We have contact 7 times a year with regional meetings that we host throughout the United States. We've had one in Hawaii in the past, where we invite family members that we know of in the geographical area to come to these updates, to receive an update on their case, to provide a family reference sample, DNA, if they haven't done so. And then we hold 2 annual meetings here in Washington for Korea War family, Cold War families, as well as Southeast Asia families. But, you know, we continue to get the word out. We continue to work with our the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps to, again, developing those genealogies to be able to contact people that have yet to be contacted.
So there really are quite a few people out there. All the more reason to let people know about the work that you're...
Yes, sir, particularly from World War II.
A lot of people are going to be focusing on just the most recent Vietnam conflict, and I'm wondering how our interaction is with the current government of Vietnam in terms of tracing MIAs, POWs.
You know, that's a great question. The cooperation that we enjoy with the Vietnamese government actually predated the establishment of formal relations with the United States and Vietnam by about 3 years. Since then, and this was again back in the 70s, since then, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos have been tremendous partners in helping us determine the fate of missing Americans. There is an organic capacity that's being built in Vietnam. It speaks volumes to their commitment to the humanitarian nature of this mission. And if you think back to not that long ago, we were enemies, sworn enemies. To this day, we have teams, both investigative and recovery teams, that are jointly conducted by U.S. and Vietnamese personnel, similarly with Laotian and Cambodian personnel. And it just speaks volumes about the level of cooperation, the acknowledgement of the humanitarian aspects of this mission, and more importantly, how they feel committed to the United States fulfilling its moral obligation.
You're a lifelong military man yourself. Is this a function of a kind of a universal military code of honor, perhaps, that it transcends the differences of war?
It is for the United States. Besides us and the South Koreans, we're the only ones that actively, proactively pursue our missing. Other countries do it on a reactive basis, and they are of the opinion culturally that the service member, where he lies, is where his fallen grave site is, sacred ground. For us, we look at it as, again, a moral imperative to search for, recover, and identify the remains of missing service members. And so for us, it does transcend generations within the military. As I mentioned earlier, it provides an opportunity for the United States to recommit to currently serving members of the armed forces, that this is an important imperative for the United States. And so, yeah, I think that's an absolutely great question from the standpoint of transcending generations.
Kelly McKegg is a retired Air Force Major General who began service as the director of the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency on September 5th of this year. He's responsible for policy, control, and oversight of all aspects of the department's program to account for the nation's missing personnel from past conflicts. He leads DOD's worldwide enterprise and research, investigation, recovery, and identification operations and its supporting functions to provide the fullest possible accounting of missing personnel to their families.